Hello and welcome to another episode of Soundography. Soundography is a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And that gets more and more pronounced every time.
I want to make sure I have good diction.
I appreciate that. I like that. That's something that I recognize and commend.
I'm from the land of mountains.
Where you mountains? Mountains.
Yeah, instead of mountains, it's mountains.
Yeah, we say mountains here too. Something else we say is live. No, this episode of Soundography is not a live episode. It's a live episode because we're talking about the band Live.
Bad SEO part two.
Jeez, no kidding, right? If Talk Talk wasn't so horrible to try and find online, Live is even harder, especially even in music applications. Like you search for Live. Well, guess what? You're going to find a lot of live albums from other bands. Concert albums, and it makes it very tough to find Live unless you look for specific albums and then kind of backtrack that way. But we don't have the on our list, but at some point when we do the, that's probably the worst SEO of any band. And of course, it was, you know, all these bands came from before a time when there were internet searches and things like that. So it's not like they could really do anything about it. There was no way of predicting. You know,
and I feel bad because Live's Twitter feed is something weird. You have to know their music to understand their Twitter handle. Freaks for Live. That's what their Twitter is.
Freaks for Live. Interesting. Wow. Yeah, I would not. Yeah, I would not connect that with the band. If I saw that Twitter handle following me, I'd be like, oh, cool. All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Freaks. I wouldn't say, oh my God, the band Live is following me.
Yeah, Freaks for Live.
Freaks for Live. Okay. Well. There might be a tie-in. We'll find out later on the show. The band Live was formed in Pennsylvania in the early 80s under the name First Aid. Again, that would be a tougher one to find. Like, I'm looking for First Aid. Going to the record store. They were a trio consisting of Chad Taylor, Patrick Dahlheimer, and Chad Gracie. Ed Kowalczyk joined the band in 1984. They ran through a wide variety of band names before settling on Public Affection. After the album High School in 1989, they recorded and self-released a tape of original songs called The Death of a Dictionary. In 1990, they released an EP called Divided Mind, Divided Planet, and they played regular shows at CBGB's in New York. In 1991, they signed with Radioactive Records, and they changed the band's name to Live. And in early 1991, they released an EP called Four Songs.
So in 91, CBGB's was playing host to a lot of really good bands. They were playing host to like Blues Traveler and the Spin Doctors and these guys. I mean, they were kind of at the cutting edge of some of that stuff. And it's kind of weird to think they were all kind of rubbing elbows together.
It is. And you know, I mean, before that, it was like in the 70s and early 80s, you had Talking Heads and Blondie. And a lot of those other New York new wave and post-punk bands. I mean, that place is great. And it's funny because the name is Country Bluegrass. The CBGB stands for Country Bluegrass and Blues, which a lot of these bands wouldn't fit in that description.
Have you seen the documentary about CBGBs?
I haven't yet. It's one of those things that's been on my list forever to watch.
It is very, very good.
Cool. I can't wait to see it. Let's talk about that very first album, 1991's Mental Jewelry. The single Operation Spirit went to number one on the modern rock charts. I picked this album up because of Pain Lies on the Riverside, which was the first song I ever remember hearing.
Get out.
Live. It had a lot of radio airplay here in Colorado, the alternative rock stations and that sort of thing. So it was a great album opener for me. Some of the album's lyrics were inspired by Jiddu Krishnamurti, an Indian philosopher. In 2017, this album was re-released as a two CD set. It contained demo tracks, and the second CD was a full live show, live concert show, a live show. It was also released on vinyl and tape.
So what Live needed to do was go on tour with the band Death. So you'd have Live and Live, Death, Live in Concert.
I think anytime they go on tour, they just need to make sure that it's clear that they're the band Live. Because if you see, if you look at the marquee and it says Blink 182 Live, you're going to say, well, of course, it's a concert. Why wouldn't they be? But if they're performing... I guess Bush is who, somebody that they've recently toured with, or at least toured back in the day with. We'll probably talk more about that later on the show as well. They also recorded a video for the song Operation Spirit. After that, they appeared on 120 Minutes. They were part of Woodstock 94, and they toured in support of Peter Gabriel.
I want to do an entire show sometime on Woodstock 94, because when you look at that Woodstock, it wasn't quite the influential as the original, but there are so many bands there that changed the musical landscape of the mid-90s and into the 2000s.
And for sure, it was a great slice of 90s rock and roll in that show. For sure. And a lot of mud from what I hear. A lot of mud. In 1994, also, they released the album Throwing Copper. This was the album that completely launched them into mainstream success. The songs I Alone, All Over You, Selling the Drama, and of course, Lightning Crashes were all chart successes.
Lightning Crashes was on the mainstream rock charts for 10 weeks. And I swear to you, I was driving 45 minutes every morning. And I swear to you, it played exactly the same time every morning the entire time I was doing the long distance drives.
Wow. I mean, there is something to be said for radio stations once they started getting those automated programming things that would put a certain type of song at the top of the hour, then a certain type of song at 10 minutes past the hour. Like there were, on mainstream rock stations, there's absolutely that level of granular programming, which drives me
nuts. I was going to say monotony, but granular programming works too.
Yeah. I mean, for us, it's monotony. For those executives, oh yes, it's a fine form of granular programming. They around this time as well, they appeared on Saturday Night Live and on MTV Unplugged. Susquehanna was actually written during the mental jewelry sessions, but not recorded until this album. In 1997, they released the album Secret Samadhi. This album debuted at number one on the charts.
Samadhi is a state of Hindu meditation, for those of you who are about to ask.
I was about to ask. Although the album contained four modern rock charting singles, it didn't have the same level of success as their prior release.
Let's go hang out in a church. We'll go find lunch. And we'll haul mass down through the abbey. Is it money? Is it fame? What's in a name?
However, they did appear on Saturday Night Live for a second time.
This seems a really close appearance from one to the next. Maybe they had someone there who was a fan or someone really liked them, but that seems really quick to have them bang, bang, album after album, just have them show
within
up.
3 years.
There are a lot of bands in the early 90s that were, you know, making the rounds, and to have them on back to back, almost album back to back, is a big deal.
It is, for sure. I'm trying to think of the last artist I remember seeing on SNL that had come on recently. I mean, for me, it's discovering a lot of new music on there. And everybody I can think of from, I mean, there's only been one episode this season, but from last season, was somebody that, aside from, I think, some of the stalwarts, I mean, I think Paul Simon was on, maybe not last season, but, you know, a few seasons ago. But for the most part, it's like, hey, here's a brand new band. This is their big break. We're going to play them. And maybe it says something to the longevity of bands in the 90s compared to the longevity of bands in the 2010s.
And I bet you they weren't wearing a Perrier bottle when they performed either.
they probably weren't. Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Singles from the Secret Samadhi album included Lakini's Juice, Rattlesnake, Turn My Head, and Freaks.
I really, really liked Freaks and Lakini's Juice. Probably more than I should have at the time. But I thoroughly enjoyed these because I was, you know, I was knee deep into discovering a lot of the prog metal acts of the early 90s at this point. And for them to come along and land on my radar kind of as hard as they did with these two songs, I was kind of surprised. So good for them.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Great songs. Both of those are great songs. In 1999, they released The Distance to Here, which contained the hit single The Dolphin's Cry. They followed that up with a tour with the Counting Crows. During the show, Adam Duritz would join them on stage and Kowalczyk would join the Crows for a song. Really would like to see which song they all did together. I imagine there's probably some YouTube of the bands crossing over like that.
So I have to say it was after Secret Samadhi that I fell off the live truck. So everything after this up until very recently was all new to me. And I'll explain the recently part here in a little bit, but this was all a journey of discovery recently for me from here on.
Yeah, for me too. As a matter of fact, I think actually Secret Samadhi might be the first album of theirs that I haven't listened to. I've heard, their greatest hits I picked up afterwards because it had a cover of Johnny Cash's I Walk the Line on there. But aside from that, a lot of the stuff was brand new for me in this listening too. So cool. Very cool. This album, by the way, The Distance to Here, debuted at number 4 on the charts. Their fifth album, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep, their fifth album came out in 2001. It was called Five or V. It was originally called Ecstatic Fanatic, but they changed the title to V. It was released to mixed reviews, and the first single, Simple Creed, featured a rap from Tricky, but Overcome, a melancholy song, received more airplay because of the events of 9/11 and became the album's selling point.
And I think that's actually good for them that they had a selling point on the album. But I'm sad that they had a song that was upbeat and probably meant to be their big hook. Yeah. Mole, with your back to the garden, picked you up by your puppy scruff. Angry at who? Me? You better back up, fool. And be grateful that the real is always hiding from you. Now, nobody's taking your bicycle. Maybe somebody's... Yeah, it was overshadowed by... these events, these tragic events. And I mean, it just goes to show the effect that day had on wide range of things.
Yeah, it really did. I remember hearing about the DJ or the radio station blacklist, basically the songs that people weren't, the stations were not allowed to play after all that.
We talked about that a little bit on the Drive By Truckers episode, because they had an album that made that list.
Did, oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I remember talking about that. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a bummer because, you know, music is the great healing force. And so to have that get taken away from us by radio is kind of a bummer. In 2003, they released Birds of Prey. This album really reached number 28 in the charts. The single Heaven had unexpected chart success. It was their first charting single since The Dolphin's Cry. I 2004 saw the release of the aforementioned greatest hits album called Awake, The Best of Live. It included We Deal in Dreams. This was an unreleased song from the Throwing Copper Sessions. Also featured the song I mentioned a minute ago, a cover of I Walk the Line. And that cover, by the way, so iconic that Adam Lambert did a cover of it, basically did his version of
Wait.
What?
It comes up later. I have that
oh, it does?
Thing coming up later.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, and it was Daughtry? I thought it was Adam Lambert.
It was Daughtry.
I thought it was Adam Lambert. Nope. Never mind. That's funny. Okay, well, see, look at you knowing what I want to talk about. A deluxe edition of Awake, The Best of Live, was released with a DVD that contained 22 videos and an interview with Kowalczyk. In 2006, they released Songs from Black Mountain. This one charted moderately well, 52 on the Billboard charts and number 3 on the independent album chart. The first single released was the song River, or The River. And season 5 of American Idol saw Chris Daughtry performing a version of Walk the Line that he claimed was his own interpretation. However, a week later, he acknowledged that it was Live's version and that they were one of his favorite bands. In 2008, Live and Mr. Daughtry shared the stage in a performance of their version of Walk the Line.
So this is the same thing happened with Billie Jean. Like a couple seasons later, David Cook took the Chris Cornell version of Billie Jean and sang it for American Idol. And from what I read, the judges didn't know he was covering Chris Cornell covering Michael. And then the internet blew up and he got called out on it. So he had to kind of own it.
Backpedal and say, yeah, there was one that I'm trying to remember Adam Lambert had done that was a similar situation. Where he covered a song, but it was a very close cover to something that somebody else had done. And it was the same situation where I was like, all right, well, I know it because I listen to a lot of covers. And it's like, all right, well, that's pretty close to this other version. But the judge is, you know, kind of unaware of that connection. But I don't think Adam Lambert was secretive about it or tried to keep it hidden.
Well, and then there is the infamous Glee cover of Baby Got Back that was basically
Jonathan Colton's. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and before that was their version of Don't Stop Believin' that was right off of Petra Hayden's version, too.
Yep.
Yeah. People covering covers. Sounds like it should be on another podcast. In 2007, Live released Radiant Sea, a collection of bootleg rarities that also featured two new songs.
And you know,
or was that the title? Was it called And Two New Songs?
I think it was called that. I think that is the title.
Bootleg rarities and two new songs. Well, I like that.
I bet you I know why they put two new songs on there, so the diehard fans would buy it.
Yes, exactly. Although if the rest of it's rarities, then diehard fans are going to buy it anyway, right? I mean, if it's, yeah, I feel like it's going to be more likely that, you know, the greatest hits thing is going to be the, you know, we need a new song on there, which they did, to get people to buy the greatest hits, which I did.
which reminds me, I love their honesty. Because they're saying this is a collection of rarities and two new songs. It's kind of like when Dream Theater released their greatest hits album, and it was called Dream Theater's Greatest Hit and 21 other songs.
Right. I do like that. Yeah, you were nice enough to buy me a copy of that album. 2009 saw the band announce and take a 2-year break. Ed Kowalczyk recorded a solo album called Alive. Alive, I like it. And the other members of the band formed a group called The Gracious Few. Later that year, it was announced that it wasn't a hiatus, but a permanent split. Well, sort of. The remaining members released a statement in 2011 that they were going to start playing as Live again. They needed to address the hole that was left by the departure of Ed.
So can I tell you how difficult it was to write that sentence? Because...
Oh, really?
Because having them going to start playing Live again, I had to put as Live because...
Right.
You have to differentiate between the concert setting and the band name.
Totally. Yeah, no, there's points that, you know, we've used the term live interchangeably, or not interchangeably, but used live in both definitions in this show. So we've got to be really careful
about that. Keep up, everybody. Keep up.
That's right. Don't you see us doing air quotes when we're talking about the band? In March of 2012, they filled that hole with Chris Chin of Unified Theory as their brand new lead singer.
The first tour with a new singer was in 2013, and it featured Everclear, Filter, and Sponge. You could not have a more 90s lineup than those bands. It also sounds like something you could buy, it would be sponsored by a cleaning company, too.
Right. If only there was a band called Brawny and Clorox, then it would have been perfect.
Charmin, live in concert.
Exactly, yeah. In 2014, they released the album The Turn. This was with the new singer. The first single released was The Way Around Is Through. I was amazed. I listened to this album and realized that even though I knew that it wasn't Ed Kowalczyk, they found a guy who kind of a little bit, if you close your eyes a little bit, sounds kind of like Ed.
If you squint with your ears.
Yes, exactly.
It's Ed.
It's totally true. During this time, Ed Kowalczyk was playing acoustic shows with Zach Loy. And in 2016, Ed was asked to rejoin Live. Zach was invited to join as well.
So here's something that's kind of, I don't do this often and probably because it happens so rarely, but I will say,
sure.
I just interviewed Zach recently, and his interview is sitting up on my feed for my other show, Beyond the Playlist.
Cool. Very cool. And people should check that out for sure. They announced tour dates of the original lineup for 2017, and in 2018, an EP of new original material was released called Local 717. I actually really enjoyed this EP.
I did too.
It felt different, you know? Yeah, it was kind of a return to form for me after a couple of albums that had a little bit of samey-sameness.
I didn't really see it as a return to form. I felt all this new energy and kind of this new direction, and they were doing things musically they hadn't done before.
Maybe that's it. In 2019, a tour with Bush and Our Lady Peace was set to commemorate the 25th anniversary of Throwing Copper, 16 Stone, and Navid.
So those are all albums that came out
the Bush years ago
For each band.
Yeah, and Our Lady Peace. Yeah.
And again,
I have Bush's 16 Stone album. I don't have Our Lady Peace's Navid album.
And again, it's a shame that we're covering Live right now because later in the season, we're doing something very, very 90s related.
Yeah,
and they would have
they'll come in. Up. Yeah, they'll come up.
Oh, they'll we'll come up, but it'll be hard to pick from them because I feel like I was double dipping.
Sure, no, we can't. I'm going to say it right now. We're not allowed to.
Oh, well, it's off limits. Okay,
putting my foot down.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
So say we all. Hammond, tell me some statistics and general notes about Live.
Throwing Copper spent 52 weeks on the chart before reaching number one on the Billboard.
Wow. Wow. So like it was a slow build up to number one, a year of build up to number one.
Yeah, talk about a slow burn on that. Yeah. But when it finally did hit, they kind of hung on to it for a while for like two albums. And they put the work in and they hung on to it for as long as they could before the, you know, fickle public shifted and they moved on. And I have to admit, there's something about those first couple albums that I really like, but also, well, I'll talk about it in my thing. So we'll get there.
Okay.
Right. The Distance to Here was certified platinum in 1999. Overcome was used in the second season of The Shield. Now, that's another show I've never watched a frame of.
I haven't either. I hear it's really good. It gets a lot of praise.
I hear the thing does really, really good work in it. So
that is right. Yeah, it is a Michael Chiklis. One of our things, you know, we've had a couple things.
That thing one, two, and three.
And chances are we're going to get another thing in a few years. So
played by our
well said. Yeah, right. Right.
Cause he's really well, play everything, cut. Right?
That's a very deep cut, Hammond. Like the Venn diagram. There's a Venn diagram of people who listen to Film Sack and who listen to Soundography that are going to get that. But leave it in. We're leaving it in. For sure.
The song Forever May Not Be Long Enough was featured on the Mummy Returns soundtrack, which also had some of the worst CG in film history.
Which also was long enough.
Yeah.
Maybe even too long.
And then here's my favorite note of the whole thing. The song Hold Me Up was an unreleased song that was used in Kevin Smith's Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Yeah. And boy, people love that song. Kevin Smith loves that song. Yeah. I mean, obviously loved it enough to want to put it in that film. But that's there was somebody on Twitter who brought that song up to us as well. So,
and the weird thing is it didn't make the soundtrack of the album.
Oh, really? That's surprising. I wonder why.
I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't released until the 25th anniversary re-release of Throwing Copper, that brand new bonus edition. So let's say you have the opportunity to see live. What songs are you guaranteed to hear in concert? And what's the one song that you are not leaving your seat until you hear?
Okay, before I answer this, I need to ask. So when Live starts touring with the hologram lead singer like Dio is right now,
yeah, you think that's ever going to happen?
I don't know. But if it does, we still call them live?
Oh, well, if the rest of the band is live, I mean, okay. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, for sure. back to your very salient question.
Sure, no problem. what are our choices?
Lightning Crashes, Lakini's Juice, All Over You, Freaks, and my money is on I Alone. I don't know how it can't be I Alone.
I'd lean more towards Lightning Crashes. It feels like that is their biggest hit, and it's early enough that even if they do like a two or three song set for some, you know, opening deal or TV thing or something like that, then they're going to fit that one in for sure. But let's take a look. I'm at setlist.fm right now. Again, very difficult to look for live on setlist.fm, but I did find them. I Alone, number one. Six performances. Lightning Crashes just behind it at number two with 875. All Over You, Lakini's Juice, Selling the Drama, The Dolphin's Cry, White Discussion, They Stood Up for Love, Shit Town, Run to the Water, rounding out the top 10.
I wonder where they play Shit Town. They dedicate it to somebody every time they play it.
There is no way I'm going to answer that because we've got listeners all across the country, and for me to say anything would be horrible. They do perform I Walk the Line in concert, of course, since they released that on that album. But they also, in concert, do Imagine by John Lennon as their most popular non-released cover song, which I find it very interesting.
That would be a cool thing. Because of their style. I mean, it's very stripped down and kind of sparse.
Sure.
And yeah. I think that having that style of Imagine actually probably works really, really well.
I think so. Yeah. They also cover Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones. That fits in their formula. Mm-hmm. Losing My Religion. Again, I can hear that, especially, well, we'll talk about the cover that I picked, but there's some connection there. Jimmy Reed's Baby, What You Want Me to Do, Love Shine. Oh, I'm the Highway by Audioslave. So a few. Oh, Love My Way by Psychedelic Furs. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting one to hear them cover. So you might be lucky and hear a cover when you go see live perform in concert. Speaking of covers, let's talk about the songs that we would like to hear them cover. I'll go first. So the band has kind of a dark feel to them, right? They have a formula of these kind of you know, mid-tempo songs with a very dark underlying story or feel underneath them. And I think one of the songs that best exemplifies that is Bobby Gentry's Ode to Billy Joe. Yeah, I mean, this is a song that just in describing it, I can absolutely hear them covering the song. And it fits that same kind of style and formula that they have.
Yeah.
How about you?
So mine's kind of an odd pick, but bear with me.
Okay.
He already, vocally, Ed already kind of sounds like an angry Dave Matthews. Am I wrong?
Like a little bit. Yeah. I mean, there's this weird vocal thing that Dave Matthews does that I don't think Ed does as much. Does, you know, the he wakes up in the morning, you know.
Yeah, but there is something there, right? But
there is something there. Okay. And it's basically an octave lower and growly.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'd love to hear them do is do Answer Marching by Dave Matthews.
That's a good choice.
It's a quirky little arrhythmic kind of tune. It's sparse kind of. And I think live could actually do a really, really good version of it.
I think you're right. Yeah, interesting. And would they keep it as a major key or would they drop it into a minor key?
Well, if they drop it into a minor key, it'd be really scary. Like the ants are attacking like them.
Yeah, right. Exactly. His answer. Really marching. Run. The ants are marching. Everybody hide. All right, let's talk about our playlist. This is where we pick five songs that usually aren't greatest hits songs, songs that you can kind of couple along with a greatest hits release, like Awake, and then kind of put these songs with it. I will start. First one is, I believe, a song that was a B-side or a bootleg or rarity that they just included on the Throwing Copper 25th anniversary release, and that song is called Waitress.
Everybody's good enough for some change. The girl's got family, she needs cash to buy aspirin for her pain. Everybody's good enough for some change.
It's basically Ed pleading with or defending giving a tip to a waitress who apparently was kind of a bitch, but you know, she deserves a little money and she was probably having a bad day. I mean, these are lyrics in the song, not just me describing it. They like, I mean, basically he was probably murmuring this to himself on the way home from this, near altercation at a restaurant.
Or telling it to his band members, defending it to the band.
Exactly. Like they didn't want to leave a tip. He insisted on leaving a tip, and he was explaining why. Love it. I'd love to know the story behind it, although it's probably not nearly as good as the one that I have in my head. The next song is Ghost from the Secret Samadhi album.
Yours is not like mine. It's all right. Keep it up. Borders is real in New Orleans.
Like doing having a song on this list that is the name of a band that we've also covered on on Soundography. It's a very cool, dark, smoldering song. And after a week of listening to live, you start to, as with any band, you start to recognize the formula that they might follow for a lot of their songs. And live definitely has that. The verses kind of come in low and growly, and then kind of a build up to the chorus. And then Ed starts either growling them louder or yelling them or whatever, but then it kind of pulls back down. Ghost didn't have that. Like he kind of stayed in the same timbre through the whole thing. And I really, really like that, especially when it's as dark and like I said, smoldering as it was. Nobody Knows from Five or B.
I had a vision of you that carried me through. And nobody really knows what I would do for you. Nobody really knows how much I love you.
is my third choice. It's Five. I mean, we know it's Five. They're not going to call an album V, like Vendetta. It was just a nice change of pace. It was after a few songs where it felt like it was getting a little samey. Nobody Knows. And really the whole album of Five got me to kind of perk up and pay attention. I was like, all right, we're kind of exploring some new territory here. I like that. And also from that same album, Hero of Love is my fourth choice.
Lost in a riddle, I was helpless to understand. I went to a healer, the healer held my hand. She said, all of these things are written in the sand behind me.
This one has a little bit of a Sgt. Pepper Beatles vibe to it. I don't know what it is, if it's the staccato piano that goes along with it or what it is, but there's, as I was listening to this, I was definitely hearing like a little bit of a Beatles influence, and I liked it. I liked that a lot. Finally, a song from that Local 717 EP that you and I both really liked, Venus in Furs. This is a cover of a song by the Velvet Underground.
Flash girl child in the dark. And bells, your servant, don't forsake him. Strike your mistress and cure his heart.
It's a cover of a song that REM also covered, and there's a similarity and a big difference between the two styles, the REM cover of that song and the live cover. And of course, both of them very different from the original Velvet Underground version, but there was something I really, really liked about the style that that Ed and company put it into for this EP. Really, really cool cover, and it kind of makes me want a live cover album, like some of the bands that were influences to them growing up. And I'd be really curious to see what 70s and 80s bands the members of Live listened to.
So having you say all that makes me wish that I had picked like Losing My Religion or Stand as my choice of cover song, but I didn't. Well,
they do Losing My Religion though.
Oh, that's true. They do, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's hearing like that, they wouldn't be a bad, like hearing a live album where they cover REM songs kind of, I don't know, it kind of sounds compelling to me. I wouldn't mind hearing that. I don't know if it would
work. On the flip side, I'd love to hear REM cover some of their more moody pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Throwing or Lightning Crashes covered by REM would be really cool.
Yeah.
And Michael Stipe would fit that perfectly.
Yeah. Everybody would hurt when they were done.
Yes. I was trying to figure out a way to work Driver 8 in there, and I just couldn't do it. So I'll just take a break, Driver 8, and let you do your playlist.
So my list, I start with Brothers Unaware from Mental Jewelry.
What keeps me from loving you? Date of birth, geography. The color of my skin, ideologies now. You got 10 fingers too late.
I love how stark this is. It really creates a mood. Actually, a lot of their stuff has this mood and is this stark. But I feel like it's got various levels of sadness to it all the time. And I don't know if that was their gist or if it's just because what was going on in my life when Live was kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But I always feel a tinge of down when I listen to their stuff. It's not that I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I kind of do. I do tend to not listen to it in large doses because of either the tone they're setting or the tone I'm implying. And I don't know which one it is.
It definitely is introspective music. You know, it's not a, you're not going to be putting this on. You're probably not going to be putting this on at a party or something like that. I mean, it's very like, it's music that's almost meant to be listened to when you're in a mood, you know, that you don't want to get out of. I'm in a funk and I want to stay in this funk. I'm going to listen to Live.
Yeah, it's true. My next one is Freaks from Secret Samadhi.
If the mother goes to bed with you, we are running to the neighbors. setup that you wear. Will you take the first deer that comes in a contact with a blade like Guinness on the hill with Dawn?
This is one of my favorite songs from the 90s. I touched on this a little bit earlier. Yeah. I can't probably verbalize why I like it as well as I can just say I really like this and I'm not ashamed of liking it. Mm-hmm. My next one is Meltdown from Distance to Here.
It's a crazy kind of cold. A life is slumber.
This one's more up-tempo, but there's still that feeling of sadness and or loss. And again, I can't tell if it's something they're imposing on me or if I'm imposing on them. But either way, it fits for me that way, and it's a good way of reconciling that emotion with me.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Huh.
My next one is Love Lounge from Local 717.
Then I fell into the hole inside my heart. Now you're back and everything is lovely. I find this hour like eternity. But there's just one more thing I got to show you, baby. The leaves have fallen, it's the winter.
This clearly is a new lineup and mood. They've added new energy, they've added new people. There are things they're doing musically that they'd never done before. And if I could have put down the whole EP, I would have. So just bear that in mind as you're looking at their stuff. You know, Throwing Copper, Secret Samadhi, 717.
Those are the three. If you're going to listen, if you're going to listen to just three live albums, those are the three to listen to, is what you're saying.
Yes. And my last one is The River from Black Mountain.
Like an angel come from heaven in the night. A kiss makes me tremble. So she pulls me close and she holds me oh so tight. Then a sudden out of the...
Now, I ask a question, Brian. Is this a ballad? I think it is.
I think you did. Wow. Hammond.
I think I picked a ballad. Go ahead and mark this down as the day that I picked a ballad. This is a side of the band that I kind of like. Now, you don't get this side of live very often.
I think we need to just maybe check your temperature. Something's wrong. Reboot Hammond.
But I didn't realize I picked a ballad until I was doing the notes for it, because I picked it, you know, a couple of days ago. Then I went back and was re-listening to make my notes, and I realized, holy crap, I picked a ballad, and I had no bounds, no qualms about not changing.
I feel like there has to be some. I mean, you probably had to pick a ballad when we did Patsy Cline, right? Because she doesn't do a lot of rockers, a lot of barnstormers.
I might have picked all of her up-tempo stuff.
Really? Yeah. We have to look back. Paul Carrack did any ballads when you did Paul Carrack?
No, I know I did. I know I did. Oh, I picked like slower Michael. No.
Something slow for Michael.
No, I picked almost all Michael Mechanic stuff.
You're growing. Your heart grew three sizes that day, Hammond.
I mean, even with Leonard Cohen, I picked his more upbeat stuff. Yeah,
well, I don't blame you.
Which was a chore, but I still did it.
We all know how you felt about Michael Cohen or Leonard Cohen, Michael Cohen, Leonard Cohen that week. That's a whole different episode and probably not soundography.
No, that's a politics episode.
That's right. Exactly. You know, an artist that is neither politics nor rock. Well, that's a weird lead into this. Let's talk about what we're going to be listening to next. A very big difference. Sir Mix-a-Lot. I like his music and I cannot lie. But I only know that one song.
Really?
Yeah. I think I only know that song.
I'm not ashamed to say that I own no less than three of his albums.
Get out. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Any ballads on any of those? Huh? Any ballads on any of those albums?
There are some slower ones, but I don't know if they call ballads, but seriously, one of the first songs I introduced my kids to was Square Dance Rap and Buttermilk Biscuits.
Excellent. Oh, this is going to be fun. I can't wait for this week then. It's going to be a blast. So Sir Mix-a-Lot, that's going to be coming up on the very next episode. of Soundography. Hey, we didn't get an email from you this week. We wanted one. We looked and we sat by the mailbox every single day waiting for that email, not from everybody else, but just from you. Don't let another week go by and not email us. Email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. Or you can, if you're really lazy, you don't want to type up an email and hit send, you can type up a tweet and hit submit. Follow us at The Soundography on Twitter. We love getting your tweets. Soundography.com is where you'll find everything else. That's our website where we've got archives of all of our shows. You can listen to any of our previous episodes. And in the show notes, you're going to find our playlist from Spotify. You're going to find links to buy our songs from Amazon, as well as a way to support the show at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/soundography to support the show. It keeps the lights on, keeps the wheels moving, and keeps us buying the music that we listen to for you, to talk about for you on this show. If you like our show and want to tell other people about it, a great way to do that is to leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher, Embezzler, Blinker, and Blimper. All of those are now copyrighted by me, and
you call it
I've now locked Blimper? Them down. What's that?
Did you call it Whimper?
Oh, Blimper. B-L-I-M-P-R. No E.
Whimper. Blimper. Whimper would be a good one, too.
Whimper would be a pretty good one, but it would be ballads, so you'd never listen to that.
It'd be the breakup dating app.
That's right. You'd never get your podcast because it would all be sad, sad podcasts. don't listen to us on that one because we only do happy podcasts like this one. Hope you enjoyed it. Anything else to add, Hammond?
No, I'm actually really excited about the next few weeks because they're very diverse and they're fun.
Me too. Definitely looking forward to this. And Baby Got Back. That's going to do it. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.